Welcome to God and Country Radio, a program that discusses biblical lessons found in current social political events. To begin with, in Hebrews chapter 12, we are told to set our eyes on Jesus and run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus. And if we think the race is getting too tough, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 3, consider Jesus who endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Remember, they put Jesus on the cross. But then in this context of the hostility of sinners, the text goes on to say, do not despise the discipline of the Lord, connecting the hostility of sinners as part of the discipleship or training of God's people. Don't become bitter, become better. And rather than thinking we have all of these troubles because evil people are so evil, consider also that the evils we are seeing and experiencing are part of God's ordained discipline upon us. These things cause us to be more wise and righteous. We need to be here in this world. This is God's school. And if we look at what's happening in this world around us as part of God's discipline, it will keep us from becoming self-righteous, and it will direct us to look for what God is trying to teach us. Hebrews chapter 12 just has an interesting context where it says we endure the hostilities of sinners against us as part of God's discipline. So this week is New Year's. Who would have thought we are actually arriving at the year 2020? I remember my teen years back in the 1970s, and I thought 2020 would be some other world for other people. But here we are at 2020. As the angel said to Daniel in Daniel chapter 12, many people have gone back and forth and knowledge has increased, and the wicked are acting wickedly. I see two big changes over the last 40 years. First, the new powers of communication. Cell phones, the internet, the alternative media. We would never have predicted that. And this has furthered the gospel, at the same time, furthered and empowered sin. The second big change is the empowerment of the ideological left. Ideologies such as socialism and homosexuality, transgenderism, statism, globalism, radical environmentalism, abortion has all become mainstream. Ideas that would have seemed absurd back in the 1970s are considered normative today. I was just at an ADF meeting, the Alliance Defending Freedom, and the speaker began the meeting with a patriotic steakhouse commercial back from the 1970s. And everyone in the room understood that such a commercial would never be made today unless the company wanted the left to boycott them. The whole spirit of the age has changed, and it snuck up on us very slowly. And in the past, political parties were never so far apart ideologically. Elections were never so contested. But now that the Christian consensus in America has eroded, the polarization between the right and the left has become more pronounced. Even especially in the last 4 years, where we see that the Democratic Party has been taken over by the far left. And this is, as the Apostle Paul writes, evil men proceeding from bad to worse, 2 Timothy 3. Or as the prophet Zechariah writes, there is an unclean spirit in the land that needs to be removed. Or as written in the book of Psalms, a time when the wicked sprout up like grass and all who do iniquity flourish. Now, at the beginning of every new year, my program topic is a prophetic outlook on what's coming down the pike. Not that I'm a prophet or a son of a prophet, in the sense of an apostle or Old Testament prophet. But all Christians can be prophets, in the sense that all Christians who are filled with the Holy Spirit and know the scriptures know what is to come. And the title I'm going to give to this program is Christian Conservative Resurgence or Defeat. I'm hearing from a number of pundits, Christian and otherwise, that we're on the brink of a conservative resurgence. The left is bankrupt. The left will soon be defeated. And there will be a return to conservative American values. It's morning in America again. Now, for some Christian-based pundits, they speak in terms of a post-millennial interpretation of the last days, where the gates of hell will not prevail against the church, where the kingdom of Christ will fill the earth, and then Jesus will come to receive a Christianized world. Now, I have to admit that there are a few good signs for conservatism, but I believe those signs need to be explained in the light of the broader message of prophetic scripture. And that broader message is that the church age will end with an unprecedented outbreak of evil. It will get really bad before it gets really good, really quick. Revelation 3:10, there is an hour of testing which will come upon the whole world. And it does look like we are on the cusp of the secular elites ushering in an age of totalitarianism, lawlessness, globalism. The man of lawlessness will arise, as Paul prophesied in 2 Thessalonians 2. But here is the contrary assessment. This particular assessment, among many, comes from a popular YouTuber, Steve Turley, a professor, a historian with at least 250,000 YouTube followers. He states, global liberalism is crashing and a brand new conservatism is rising. Do you really believe that? That a conservative age is coming? What is the biggest thing holding you back from believing that? I was completely cynical and skeptical about anything to come in the future, but all of that changed a decade ago when I came across some scholarship. Now I have dedicated my life to helping you overcome any cynical sense of the future. Are you open to change your mind? That scholarship I have put in my book, The Return to Christendom. I want to argue that we are actually seeing nothing less than a conservative Christian resurgence in our demographics and politics that promises not suicide, but rather the salvation of the West. Well, we all like positive news. But is it true? Is this biblical exegesis? Not really. It actually looks more like a reliance upon human scholarship, looking at sociological historical patterns, that after a time of leftism, lawlessness, nations always tend to swing back toward the right. Kind of like the cyclical patterns we see in the book of Judges, where after reaping the consequences of sin for a generation, the people would turn back to God. So here are some telltale signs of a conservative Christian resurgence. First, the EU is coming apart. There's a pushback in Europe against globalism. European people are becoming more nationalistic, trying to return to their values and to their traditions. For example, Boris Johnson's Conservative Party in Great Britain just the other week blew away the left. It was a landslide for the conservatives. So Brexit, Britain's departure from the EU, will probably take place. And the election of Donald Trump in the United States was a shocker for the left. They thought that the conservative right was dead. But there was a grassroots, nationalistic revival of American values. And in those nations that were formerly part of the Soviet Union, in Poland, there's a conservative revival. There's a renewed emphasis on traditional values in the family, resulting in a reversal of the declining birth rate. The Republic of Georgia has Christianized the public school system. The president of Hungary has announced his plans to build Hungary into a Christian democracy. In Russia, Soviet communism has been replaced with Russian Orthodoxy. Turley writes in his book that even after 70 years of communism, only 6% of the population identify as atheists. 70% of the Russian population sees themselves as religious. And Christianity is being taught in Russian public schools. Homosexual propaganda is illegal. It's really no wonder that the left in America, after seeing Russia as the good guys for the last 70 years, all of a sudden is starting to talk about Russia as being the bad guys. In a 2012 study in the Journal for Scientific Studies of Religion, it explains how Russia is experiencing a religious revival, especially among the younger generation. John Martin writes an article in The Federalist entitled "The Death of Christianity in Europe is Greatly Exaggerated." The theory that higher secular education would wipe out Christianity is being debunked. And in America, the percentage of the American population who attends church and accepts the Bible as the Word of God has remained unchanged for the last 50 years. That's about a third of the population. And in his book, Turley asks this question: what are the political and cultural ramifications for a nation when 40% of its population is theologically and socially conservative Christian? I think we can appreciate that. Even a little salt and light goes a long way. But there are lots of Christians and lots of Christian works in America. Now, politically, it looks very good for President Trump and the conservatives. There are somewhere between 30 to 40 Democrat congressmen who come from districts that voted for Trump in 2016. Add to this the swing districts, and the Republicans could take as many as 60 seats away from the Democrats in the next election. And the RNC is rolling in money, about $2 billion, and the DNC is financially broke. And another positive sign we see is this new conservative media. The Daily Wire, Ben Shapiro, Steve Crowder, Andrew Klavan, Levin, and many, many conservative YouTubers. This is why the left wants to silence free speech on social media. They know that the conservatives own the alternative media narrative. And these conservative sites have way more followers, viewers, subscribers, than CNN and MSNBC, not even to mention the dominance of Fox News. And it's not as if Rush Limbaugh has died out. He has duplicated himself with hundreds of news conservative commentators, most of whom are very young. We also have conservative college campus groups, YAF, Campus Reform, Turning Point. And these groups outspeak the left, larger audiences. They're more witty. They're more humorous. They successfully mock the left. And it's actually becoming cool to be conservative. Being conservative is edgy, it's counterculture, it's being a rebel. And young people are attracted toward being different, being against the status quo. Now, it could be sinful pride, but there may be an element of good rebellion here. Think about SDS back in the 1960s, the Students for a Democratic Society. That was the communist leftist group that fomented campus riots back in the 60s. All of those students grew up to be the leftist leaders of our day. Think also about the Frankfurt School coming out of Germany, the Institute for Social Research, those communist professors and their critical theory, how they came to Columbia University in New York. That little group founded all of the critical theory, the social construct relativism we have today. But the people and the institutions of the new conservatives today are far larger and far more influential than the SDS or the Frankfurt School ever was in their day. So the dividends coming in the future from the current conservative counterculture is going to be huge. I just read an article recently entitled, "The Future is Coming at the Elites Like a Freight Train." And it was just about the resurgence of nationalism and borders and small government. But in the same way, a future of conservative values may be coming upon the left like a freight train. The left is just blind to the fact that conservatives are going to own the future because of conservative grassroots work today. So that's just a brief summary of why some pundits are predicting a return of Western values, of conservatism or Christendom, whatever you want to call it. But the biblical prophecy is undeniable. This age is supposed to end with an unprecedented outbreak of evil. Evil will take over the institutions of government. There will be an apostasy, and the man of lawlessness will be revealed, the son of destruction. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And Jesus' words in Matthew 24. "For then there will be a great tribulation, such as has not occurred since the beginning of the world until now, nor ever will." We may be seeing a revival of Christendom in the grassroots, but evil may still take over the places of power for a while. Bring about World War III, almost as a retaliation or a reaction against Christianity trying to reverse the gains made by secularism in the 20th century. Maybe this will be Satan's last-ditch attempt, his last hurrah. Remember, the apocalypse begins with the Great War, Revelation 6. A fourth of the earth is destroyed, and this may shift the centers of world power. The leaders of the world might use this crisis to bring in globalism, but according to the book of the Revelation, it only lasts 3.5 years. And then it just ends with more war and desolation. And then out of those ashes will come Christendom, the return of Christ. But let's not assume that a conservative revival will defeat the left in the near term. Remember, the world still has to pay the price for 300 million abortions. 125,000 abortions are being performed every single day. And the world still needs to pay the price for its immorality and its idolatry and its thefts. Isaiah 26:1, "For behold, the Lord is about to come out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity, and the earth will reveal her bloodshed and will no longer cover her slain." And another point that needs to be made regarding a conservative revival: is it real? Is it sufficient? Is it the genuine new birth or just political expediency? What has fascinated me in my Bible study is that Baal worship was eradicated out of northern Israel, and there was a conservative patriotic revival right before God sent judgment on northern Israel. Yes, Jehu removed radical Baal worship, but northern Israel still continued in their apostate form of Jehovah worship. And so the nation was still judged. The Assyrians invaded northern Israel, and they were never a people again. And the exact same pattern happened in southern Israel. Under Josiah, King Josiah, all of the radical leftism established under King Manasseh was removed. King Manasseh was even converted to Jehovah. But after King Josiah died, God still judged southern Israel. That's strange. They had this conservative revival. The temple was restored. The worship of Jehovah was restored. Why did God still send the Babylonians to destroy southern Israel? Well, because their conservative revival was done in hypocrisy. And the prophet Jeremiah, if you read it carefully, had to explain to the inhabitants of Jerusalem that their conservative revival wasn't sufficient. There was still the practice of child sacrifice, immorality. The priests were still ecumenical. And Jeremiah has to tell these optimistic Jews in the temple, "Don't you see what they're doing in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem? The idolatry of the people," Jeremiah 7:17. These Jews in the temple were living in their own echo chamber. They didn't appreciate or understand the ungodliness of the culture. Now, true repentance would have saved the nation. But what appeared to be a return to Jehovah and nationalism wasn't genuine repentance. One verse of many in this regard would be Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 10. Judah did not return to me with all her heart, but rather in deception, declares the Lord. And a further point to keep in mind from the pattern of Israel's judgment. When judgment was right around the corner, all the clergy and the pundits of that day were saying that Israel would be victorious. Israel was about to experience a new day. One verse of many, Jeremiah 14, 13. But Lord God, I said, look, the prophets are telling them, you will not see the sword, nor will you have famine, but I will give you lasting peace in this place. So, given the New Testament prophecies about how this age will end, and given the example of Israel and the message of the false prophets, I think we should be very wary of any post-millennial conservative optimism. But let's remember some good news in this. The gospel is always winning, even though God lets civic leaders burn their institutions and their nations to the ground. You know, while the institutions of human government are taken over by evil ideologues and by Satan himself, the church, not operating in the power centers of this world, is still doing a powerful work of saving souls. At the end of this age, there will be a great harvest and a great sanctification of God's people. And so in that sense, there will be a Christian conservative revival. It just may not be winning the power structures of human government, at least not until the coming of Jesus Christ. And regardless of what will happen this year or for the next 100 years, whether there's a conservative revival and the apocalypse is postponed for another 100 years or not, it shouldn't make a bit of difference as to how we live or how we preach. Paul wrote to Timothy, preach the word, whether Christianity is in season or out of season. Regardless of what happens, we can still be busy preaching the gospel of the kingdom to the whole world. Regardless of what happens in human government or in human institutions, Satan has no power over the kingdom of Christ. So make it your endeavor this year to serve Christ more in evangelism and in holy living. Matthew 24, 45, how blessed is the servant whom his master finds so doing when he comes. You've been listening to God and Country Radio with your Bible teacher, Pastor Brad Winship, pastor of Harbor Bible Church in Central New Jersey. The website to listen to this program again or other past programs is godandcountryradio.org. The YouTube channel for the extended version of this program is God and Country Biblical Exposition. Just type God and Country Biblical Exposition into the YouTube search bar, and you will see over 100 programs chronologically listed, dealing with all sorts of Christian subjects. As always, thank you for making God and Country one part of your discipleship in the Word. Let's close in prayer. Father in heaven, we're fixing our hope completely on the grace that is to be brought to us at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Until then, keep us in the world. Keep us in your name. Keep us from the evil one. Sanctify us in the truth. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Amen.